see. Amen. Something we have to do in everything that we do and how we live, displaying him in every way. Amen. All right. Pray for me. Cold's trying to attack me here. So I think a lot of people are going through a lot of these colds or whatever and stuff like that. So continue to pray for me, but I can still praise him. Amen. Still give him the glory. So for the order of my steps, if you were to turn your bulletins over, excuse me, the name of it is Christians Dealing with Leadership. A question came up in Bible study concerning how do we as Christians deal with leadership. And I thought it was a perfect topic for us to go over to get an understanding. As the Bible shows us, it gives us understanding on how to deal with everything. The details it gives us is all we need in order to follow it the correct way. The problem today, sometimes we like to fill in what we think are blanks or to change what we don't agree with. Please be careful not to let that happen. Make sure that we are truly following God based on God. Sometimes this topic itself can be unpopular because we don't like how he tells us to deal or the order of things. In fact, we're going to start with something that is usually not as popular when it comes to leadership. Now, looking at the top of that page, it says all Christians must recognize that God ordained the order of leadership. Okay, and it should be that God. Okay, he ordained the order of leadership. So he started off in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, saying, now I want you to realize. Do y'all see the start of that? I want you to realize. He's saying, you need to know this. I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, especially the part where it says the head of the woman is man, I know we struggle today, one, because we've done that incorrectly. What this is not given, and as you're going to see a little later, it's not giving the man a leadership in which he's the boss and everything he says goes. It's not what that means, okay? What it does mean is he is responsible for. And the reason why that's not shown in the right way today with men is because we don't follow the first one, that the head of men is Christ. Okay, very important. Unfortunately, you get a lot of men that call themselves leaders, but they have no process in their life of following Christ. So in other words, they're not leaders that they're supposed to be. It shows us that man answers to Christ, women answer to man, and Christ answers to God. That process is something that we have to have continually. This is not something you bypass. It's something you look at and you follow based on what God says. So we have to take this serious because God is the one who put this in place. Now understand there are also automatic roles of leadership. Husbands are automatic leaders. Ephesians 5, 22-23 says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is Savior. Once again, a marriage is a partnership, okay? It's a partnership, so wives are not insubordinate, and you're not supposed to treat them as that way, okay? Submission is an understanding of the role. Remember, another word for submission would be yielding to. It's not saying one is better than the other. God is saying, this is the position I've put the men. But men, you must understand, we have to answer to God for this. And I'm talking to the husbands, to your household. As the head of the household means you have to answer to God on how the household is being run. But you work together with your wife for that to work out, but you're going to have to answer for that. Does everybody get that? Okay, and that's an automatic. I don't care if you get into a relationship and you may say, well, she's a better leader than I am. God's not saying, okay, well, then change roles. Remember, this is something God put in place when he says the husband is. Y'all get this? Okay, and once again, must be led by Christ. We see that parents are automatic leaders, period, to their children. Ephesians 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, do you notice when it talks about the wife, it says submit. But when it talks to the children, it says obey. Okay? The difference here is, of course, wives in submission, you're just understanding the role as equal partners, but the man is the head. He's the one that's going to have to answer. Do you get this? Children, you understand your parents are the authority. Sometimes we mess up today because I know it sounds good, and I know we like to have it, and it feels good to have it, but with our children, sometimes we have what we call the best friend relationship. What messes that up is you are still the authority that has to answer to God. Does that make sense? I can't, with my kids, have a partnership in which I'm not raising them in the way God would want me to as the authority. Once again, God put that in place purposely in order for us to follow that. So children must obey. So that command, even though it's talking to the children, is for the parents, believe it or not. It's telling the parents you raise them to obey. Amen? Today we see a lot more reasoning and coaxing and, you know, making deals with, hey, I'll give you this if you listen to me. If you clean your room, you'll get this, and so on and so forth. And we let them run the house, and that's wrong based on God. Amen. You have to teach them that. Because remember, as they get older, they're going to have a relationship with God. And if we as parents distort it by not showing the authority that we're supposed to, how are they going to then obey God? Amen. You get this? Okay, so there has to be a loving, careful discipline that's done with the children. Christian leaders, now taking all this, Christian leaders must not lead the same way worldly leaders lead. And I got to add, that's in everything. Now, what do I mean by that? So as a pastor, I can't lead one way because I'm in the church. And then when I go to my outside job, lead a different way. No, no, no. Christians must lead the same way in anything that they're doing, and it must be different than the world. Look what he says here. In Matthew 20, 25 through 28, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Now, what does that mean? Lording over them means I'm just going to show you that I'm boss. I'm going to sometimes tell you stuff so you recognize who I am. It's about them. And he's saying that's how the Gentiles, that's how the world does it. Exercising authority. Sometimes I just tell you to do something, once again, so you recognize I'm in charge. All right? And this is what the world does. You know, they want to make sure you know their title, their how supreme they are, and that they are over you. Sometimes I'll just give a command. People who are in the armed forces have experienced this. Sometimes the higher ranks will tell you to do something just so you recognize who they are. They lord it over you. But look what he says to us. Not so with you. Y'all get this? Not so with you. In fact, he says, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must, everybody say must, be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must, everybody say must, be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. One thing that's implied in here is a servant and a slave based on God. Do y'all get this? Servant and a slave based on God, not based on self and not based on them. Okay, as we're serving them based on God in order for them to grow, for them to be protected, for them to be led by Christ. Does everybody see that? And we must do this in every form of our leadership as Christians. We should always show the service to God when we lead as being responsible for. Amen? Okay. Now, God put in place all authority in the world, both good and bad. Sometimes we don't recognize this because we look around the world and you'll hear people speak in the sense as if we play that part. I know it empowers us, makes us feel good. That's great, but God's in complete control. Even when he allows some people that get in office, wherever that is, and remember, we're not just talking about the United States, we're talking about the world. Through all time, all leadership, God has allowed. Look what he says here in Romans 13, 1. It shows us that he's the one who places people in office. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Watch this. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Okay? So it's showing us God is putting them in place. You like them or not, God is the one who has put them there. It says, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Now, that's important to know. I don't care if you voted for them or if you did not vote for them or if you liked them or if you disliked them. We still have to follow whoever is in office. Okay, there's going to be one key to that, and we'll talk about that at the end of this. But we still have to recognize and respect their role in office. Does everybody get that? Okay, God is the one who placed them in office. You can say, well, I didn't vote for him. It has nothing to do with what you did. It's who is in there, and we have to make sure we're following it respectfully. Look what he says here. He makes clear that he says, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Didn't say nothing about you liking it or not. It says, those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoers. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of the possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Now, some are saying, but Pastor, we've seen these cases where some of the leaders are incorrectly or in a wrong way punishing or hurting people. We're going to talk about that. God touches on that. But let me show you something here to let you know he is even in control of putting leaders that you may not think God is allowing. He's the one in control of doing that. Here's an example. Romans 9, verse 17. It says, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose. Did y'all catch that? Okay. He's saying to Pharaoh, which we know was not a godly man, had nothing to do with God for the most part, but God's the one saying, I raised you up for this purpose. He said, I raised you up for this purpose that I might display my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. We've had some maybe decent leaders throughout history, and we've had some wicked leaders throughout history, and God has been in control of them all. Does that make sense? I know sometimes when by sight we look at it and say, well, I can't see why God would have done this. But as you go through the Word, especially the Old Testament really shows us when he allowed some what we call evil leaders to lead, it was still to glorify him. As long as we focus on him through faith. Does that make sense? Now, God puts leaders in place for his purpose. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17 says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. So he's making it clear, all these governments and how that falls into place. He was like, submit, understand their position and yield to it. It says, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to who? Everyone. Now, when it says proper respect, once again, that's where the submission comes in. You know, you go to work. If my coworker told me to do something, I can say no, and I can do it with all respect because he's equal. But if my boss tells me to do something, I have to do it because he's my boss. Correct? The proper respect. You understand their position. You recognize where they are at, and you show them what their position displays. Does that make sense? Okay? So you show the proper respect for them. And he says, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. Didn't say if you like him or not. I think a whole history in we see in 1 and 2 Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, where it talked about the kings that were in Israel, and when the split happened in Israel, and you had the lower kingdoms of Judah and upper kingdoms of Israel, and you had some good kings, but most of the kings you had were evil. But they still had to respect and honor the kings. Amen? There is the office that they're in. One thing that we are responsible for doing is doing good. It is our responsibility to do good. That's what I said, so you can silence them. So the question does come up, well, then what about those who are evil and they're punishing and I didn't do anything? Watch what God says about this. Okay? It says, we do not follow our leaders for them. So we're not doing it for that leader. You're not doing it because of that leader. It says, we do it for God. All leaders will have to answer to God concerning their leadership. All right? All leaders. God's not going to give them a pass and say, well, I know it was hard to be a leader and so forth. I know sometimes even us in the ministry think we're going to get some sort of pass. While the word tells us, no, we're going to be judged even that much harder because we're dealing with his sacred word. Do you get this? So I better be able to say to him, well, God, the reason why I'm saying this is because your word said. I better not come there saying, well, I thought in my infinite wisdom, I'm brilliant, and I, you know, you put me in this position, so I got to be very careful. And he's saying this is going to be the same for all leaders. It says in Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, watch this, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Watch this, obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes are on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Once again, you don't do it for them. Amen. You do it for God. I'm serving the Lord. So when I do what I'm supposed to with the people that are over me, I'm doing it for God. I am going to have to answer to God. Doesn't matter if I like my boss or not. Right? You have some that are excellent when you love the person that's leading you. And man, we're downright horrible when it's leading, you know, following the person that we don't like above us. And that's not good. God is saying with every ounce of it, I have to recognize their position and follow. Amen? It's something we must do with no excuse. Okay? And it goes on to say, obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. It says, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, and this is where he's saying the responsibility comes out, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. And there's no favoritism with him. So you have the ones that are harsh. They are going to have to answer to God. Allow God to deal with that. All right? God will take care of that. But don't use that as a license for you to sin. Does that make sense? You know, because I don't like them, because of how they are, I'm not going to follow what they're telling me to do. I can't do that. He's saying you're going to have to answer to God for that. And God has something for those who are even bad, but he still tells us to do what we're supposed to. That's why it says it doesn't matter how bad a leader may be. Once again, we must submit to them because of God. 1 Peter 2, 18 through 21 says, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Now, that's hard. That's hard. When we hear that, we're like, oh, man, I want to rebel because they treated me that. No. Remember what God said about vengeance? He says, it's his. Absolutely. It's his. We have no right to try to take it ourselves. That means it's sacred. He says, I will avenge. Allow him, but we still have to display God. Does that make sense? Okay, so we still have to show him. He's like, so not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. As this word is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Even if this boss is bad, if you do wrong and you get punished, you just deserved it. Even if your excuse is, but this person who's leading is this, that, and however you want to fill it in, does not give you the right to do wrong. Does everybody get that? Never, ever, okay? Never gives you the right to do wrong. I want to stress that, okay? And that's why it goes into, he says, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Did y'all catch that? If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Now, who are we here to serve? God. Be very careful because a lot of times we tend to serve self, you know, our people we're around in the wrong way instead of realizing we're here to serve God. God knows what's going on and God will handle it. So you be careful not to try to handle it yourself. Okay? Because you'll just make matters worse, and then you have to answer to God. Verse 21 says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." I don't think anybody else was treated any more wrong than Christ. Can anybody agree with that? And he still showed total respect. The way they talked to him, the way they beat him, the way they accused him, and he still kept showing total respect. Did y'all notice that? Okay? Now God, once again, God said, I'll handle that. We tend to think after it reaches a certain amount of time, I now have the right to, and then we fill in the blanks. That's not right. Be very careful of that. Spiritual leaders have to answer to God and be responsible for the flock under their care. Okay? Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authorities." Now, in the position that I am, I'm in a position of authority under God. That means I have to follow God and when I lead his flock. It says, "They keep watch over you as men who must give an account." Did you catch that? Okay, so my job is to watch the flock placed under my care and answer to God for it. Y'all get that? Okay, there's another verse that lets me know if I was watching over the flock to please you, I would not be serving Christ. Okay, all right, my job is not to watch over the flock for them to be happy. My job is to watch over the flock based on God. That I can go and say, I did exactly what you told me to do. Right? Now, you're going to have those that don't like it. I'm going to have those that don't like me. And that comes with it. And I can't take it personal because it's not about me. Does that make sense? Okay? It's not about me. I have to make sure that I have to know I'm doing what I can to answer to God. It says, obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. That would be of no advantage to you. Okay? So it's talking about when we sometimes give our pastors and ministers a hard time, instead of talking to them and working with them, it's not going to benefit you at all. Does that make sense? I'm in the position for a purpose. I leave the door open that if I ever do anything wrong, by all means, come and talk to me. And as long as you show me something in the Bible, I will make adjustments. But one thing I will not do is make a change based on you that goes against God. Does that make sense? Right? But you still get that. And I know all ministers go through it, and it's a struggle at times. But we have to make sure we know in the end we have to answer to God. Does that make sense? Okay? You got to get this because you're going to have to answer to him for the authority you did not follow. Amen? All right? And we got to make sure we know this. It tells me this. I'm going to give you one of the things that shows me as a spiritual leader. It says spiritual leaders are willing shepherds that must answer to the head shepherd. It says in 1 Peter 5:2-4, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. God did not force me in this position. I don't have to stay in this position. It's something that I choose to do, and I know everything that comes with it." He says, "As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, so I can't do it based on making money out of it. That cannot be a foundation of the ministry. Eager to serve." Now, why does he put the word eager? Because there's going to be days you're not going to want to do it. Some days where it's very thankless. Some days where it's not appreciated. All that's fine because my job is to serve. Does that make sense? I'm still going to serve to represent him. If people love it or if they don't. So eager to serve, not lording it over. There that is again. So I can't come in and always say, I'm the pastor. You must listen to me. Make sure you obey me. Make sure you do this, so on and so forth. And just make up things in order for y'all to follow. No, no, no. I have to be a servant. It says, not lording over those who trust you, but being examples to the flock. So how I live is very important also. I can't come up here in the pulpit and they say, well, I saw the pastor in the street and I don't want to tell you what I seen him doing. Amen. And I can't go, well, y'all got to mind your own business. No. No. How I live, what I say, the things I do are open for that. People say, pastor, I seen and they're struggling and I have to watch how I live, how my family is. Does that make sense? Okay. And he says, as an example to the flock. And it says, and when the chief shepherd appears. Remember, I always say, you are not my flock. You are the flock that just happens to be under my care. The flock you belong to is Christ, right? I have to answer to him about his flock. All right, it's not under me and how I have to be responsible for what he tells me to do. It's like when you have a babysitter. Babysitter, once you leave the house, doesn't become the parent and starts changing the stuff in your house, changing the rules. No, they have a set of instructions that you tell them to do, correct? Because they're there to represent you. Amen? So in the same way, I'm here to represent him. In other words, to make sure I'm displaying and showing Christ to you. I have to answer to him for that. It says, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So what biggest thing we must do for leaders, the most important thing, is pray for them. But watch how it says to pray for them. It's not just for them. Prayer is such an important part of this. It says we must pray for our leaders as well as everyone else. This will affect the spiritual quality of your lives, believe it or not. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4 says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for who? Everyone. So he starts off, we should be praying for everyone, all right, in these different forms of prayers, requests for them, prayers for them, intercessions for them. And when you see them going through something, you're interceding for them and thanking for them. Amen. When you see, and it's for everybody, but then it breaks it down for kings and all those in authority. It says you got to do it for them also, right? Everybody in leadership, we should be praying if you like them or not. Amen. And look why he says this. He was like, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness, in all godliness and holiness. Sometimes when we don't pray for them, it's going to interfere in our ministry and living for Christ unnecessarily. Does that make sense? Sometimes we allow our feelings and emotions to get so caught up in politics and how we feel about things, we start and cause things that get in the way of our main purpose for being here, and that's ministering and being a light to the world. Amen? We get so caught up in all these other things, instead of saying, God, I trust you, so I'm going to pray for them. Right? Yeah, I do struggle and I see what they're doing, but I got to pray for them. You tell me what to do, God, and I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to take it upon myself to do what I think is best. It says, this is good and pleases God our Savior. Just seeing that line, this is something that pleases him. This is something we should strive to do every day. Amen? Something we should make sure we're doing. And then it says, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So if I let my light be dimmed because of my politics or because of my how I feel, then I'm not serving God. I'm too busy serving something that may be temporary instead of displaying him. Okay? To wrap this up, please understand this part. There is a time where I may not obey, where I may not follow, and there's only one reason that will allow that. And it shows this. And I have, most importantly, we need to remember we must obey God over everyone. Does that make sense? Now there are times, and you've seen it in the past, when you've seen things that are unfair, like the Bible tells us we're supposed to look out for the poor and the oppressed. So God tells me that. So then when I'm under a government that may not do anything for the poor and the oppressed, and I don't do anything to support them, then I am not supporting God. Y'all see how that difference there? When you do it, and do it the way God says it. That's why it says in Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. You will have situations at your job where your boss will tell you the lie and you have to go, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Do y'all get this? All right, you can't go, well, it's my job and I may not get that promotion. I might, no. The answer is no, I cannot do that, right? There are certain things that we're told to do with taxes, maybe to do just in life. And if we know it's against the Bible, we have to respectfully decline. Does that make sense? Right? We may have to stand up and stand firm for groups that are going through things. The disciples went to jail many times for the word because it was against the law. However, it's what God said. Please know the difference. Please be very careful because sometimes we can add stuff to God's word. Sometimes we can add causes to what God says. Do not do that because then you're going against the rest of it. However, don't be one of those that just, oh, well, it's not my problem. I'm just going to move on. It's no big deal. We have to recognize who we are responsible for and be responsible for them. we play a major part in dealing with leaders and in being leaders, but make sure we're doing it God's way, not ours. Amen? All right. As the word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out as an example or something that we tend to do privately and at the time to just thank God and talk to him about all that we're going through and giving him thanks for all that he does for us. For those who want somebody to pray with you, make sure you see myself or one of the deacons after services. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. And as you should always do as an example to your children and along with your children, is pray continually. Prayer and meditation. Amen. The word says your prayer petition with thanksgiving. Hopefully we're thanking him no matter what you're going through. Sometimes it doesn't feel good, but God knows what he's doing. Amen. Always give him the glory, the praise, and thank him. Amen. Help yourselves with refreshments and the new lesson we will be starting. We'll be starting a new lesson today on the situation is not always ideal.